Okay, here we are, Matthew Russell Lee, Inner City Press, here in Foley Square. We're not where we usually are because they're filming a movie, it appears, as you may see behind it, or some kind of a TV show. But here, and the courts often do have that element to it. Yesterday, we went to what was being promoted as the sentencing of Amy Harris for taking Ashley Biden's diary in a Florida rental and selling it for $20,000 to Project Veritas. But Amy, as we had reported over the weekend, didn't appear. She got a letter from Helix Urgent Care, and the judge accepted it, although the judge did say she had some skepticism about many of the excuses made. A new date was set all the way out in March 27th. There was some debate about spring break. Again, what I want to emphasize here is that DOJ, or the U.S. Attorney's Office, better said, made a deal with Amy Harris that the guidelines are no jail time, 6 months home confinement. So she may have made a mistake by not coming up, because it's possible that they could either ask for more or the judge could unilaterally impose more. A guideline is not binding on the judge, as they tell all people at sentencing. Now, let's turn for a moment here. We'll use the fact that we're rotating this way. Behind me is 40 Foley. And yesterday, in a case that had a dozen people in the gallery, which is rare, there was the sentencing of a man named Afridou. He was a dealer of both crack and heroin, and his friend, Christopher, may he rest in peace, died of an overdose, fentanyl-laced heroin. Now, they weren't able to link it directly to Afridou, so Afridou was charged with the crack sales, but as relevant conduct, the fact that he continued to sell after his friend died was used, and was taken into account by the judge. The mother of the deceased and his aunt, who also lost a son to the fentanyl scourge, both spoke, and Afridou apologized and said he's turned his life around. He got 15 months. His family was also in the courtroom. You can read all about it on Inner City Press. It might seem like it's a telling case. It's very problematic what's happening. Let's turn to the UN. We'll leave that one behind. The United Nations, unbelievable. Having reported for a long time from the UN, I can say that I knew that repeatedly UN peacekeepers commit sexual abuse entirely African countries they're deployed to, actually sometimes in Lebanon, but mostly in Central African Republic and DRC. So I'm well aware of UN abuses, but the allegation now is that UN staff members of UNRWA participated in the October 7th massacre. Now, of course, this has led some countries to suspend or possibly stop funding UNRWA. They could, of course, find another vehicle even to help people in Gaza and the West Bank, but Guterres, trying to keep the money flowing, said he's going to have an independent inquiry. But who is the independent inquiry? Catherine Colonna, until recently the French foreign minister. So we asked in writing, which seems like a fair question, how was she chosen and what were the communications between Guterres and she and these three NGOs that were selected? Seems entirely fair. Maybe the NGOs will come up with it, because what I'm going to tell you is that the UN didn't answer any of the written questions. And yet they want the money. They want money to flow, but they're not transparent to the public, and they ban the press that asks. Well, we're not going to stop. Inner City Press will continue to push. To be continued.